tuning in for the Wednesday edition of this 25-cent program. That's a clue. That's a cue for you to subscribe to Malloy podcast downloads. You can go to MikeMalloy.com. All the information is there. It'll cost you under $60 a year, which is 25 cents a program. That's how we, that's socialism. That's how we stay in business. It's democratic socialism. So, subscribe, okay? The right wingers are going nuts trying to bust up on Obama. By right wingers, I mean the conservatives. Frankly, although I there's a lot of stuff about Obama that I just thoroughly disagree. The argument that the bagger types and the Republicans are making is just outrageously stupid. But that's all right. I mean, these are outrageously stupid people. And I'm not going to go into detail about all the garbage that they're saying. It's just, it's kind of amusing to listen to these sick bastards go on and on and on. However, what seems to be missing from all this anti-Obama rhetoric from these hate America Republicans is any reference to their big claims a few months ago about wanting government to go away. They didn't want, yeah, you know, they wanted government to go away. And now just about everybody in the country, especially here in the South, we talked about this the other night, where all these redneck cracker freaks live, they're all pleading and begging for government assistance. Have you noticed that? It's really something to see. The drill baby drill crowd, what has become of them? I think the point I'm trying to make, when these events occur, like this horrific death to the Gulf of Mexico that we are witnessing. We are witnessing the death of the Gulf of Mexico, and possibly even worse than that. But when these events occur, and an effort is focused on trying to stop the death of the Gulf of Mexico, trying to clean up after flooding and storms roll through Mississippi and Tennessee, and dozens of people are killed. When those events occur, in the aftermath of those events, where is this bitch Sarah Palin? Where is the scum suckers like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck? Where are these bastards? And, of course, the answer to the question is nobody cares. The only time anybody listens to these thugs is when there is nothing of any import, nothing of any seriousness that has to be addressed by America. Any type of response from the government to these disasters, any kind of response, whether it's money or troops or materiel or I don't care what it is, aid of any sort, that's socialism. That's democratic socialism. The libertarians, the Ron Paul crowd, where are you bastards, huh? You who say the government should stay out of everything. Do you want government to stay out of these disasters? Is that what you want? Of course you don't. You all are a bunch of phonies. Your philosophies and theories might have worked back in the days when people were still walking around with clubs in their hands. I don't mean the National Rifle Association. I mean real clubs. But it doesn't work anymore. You people are real dinosaurs. And like dinosaurs, you're going to become extinct quicker than you think. But it's just kind of in a real macabre sort of way. It's funny to me. To you know, listen, hello, where are you right-winger Republicans? Where are you about stay out of our state?
We want state sovereignty. We don't want any government. Get government out. Yeah, drill baby, drill baby, drill baby.
Where are you now? Where are you? You little turds. Oh, the hoe from Wasilla and all these people talking about, we got to drill for oil here.
Yeah, we got to drill here. We got to go offshore. We got to go to Alaska. We got to go to downtown Oklahoma City. That's our oil.
How can these people be so stupid? Here we are drilling offshore. Who's doing the drilling? Who has caused this disaster? British Petroleum, not American Petroleum. British Petroleum. And besides, it doesn't make any difference if it's ExxonMobil doing the drilling. The oil doesn't get put in little containers when it's not spewing all over the Gulf. The oil doesn't get put in little containers and put aside on, some kind of oil supermarket shelf in Wichita. The oil, all oil, goes onto the international market, where it is bid on by the speculators, where the futures crowd bid it up, bid it down, where Goldman Sachs can jerk it around and send it up and send it down and make money on the winners, make money on the losers. But these dumb-assed Republicans talking about our oil. No, boys and girls, it's not our oil. It is oil that these international, some of them American-based oil companies, discover and then punch holes in the surface of the earth and then bring it up. And do you think the people in Chicago get the oil? Is that what you dumb Republicans think? That's what you want people to think. But what you're displaying is a kind of ignorance that is just, it's beyond definition, beyond definition. So our oil, your oil, I'm sorry. No, it's not. It belongs to the oil companies. And if it winds up in the United States to further pollute our air, to further our quest for more things, it's because somebody bid on it. It's because somebody bought it and brought it to the United States, you crazy bastards. You know, just Sarah Palin talking about Alaskan oil. Either she is incredibly, I don't know why I'm talking about her. Either she's incredibly stupid or she thinks her listeners are, and I think it's both. Any oil sucked up out of the Alaska oil beds or the Gulf of Mexico or off the East Coast of the United States goes into the international market. Now, all of this is just garbage talk because I don't see how we're going to survive this thing that's occurring in the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know. Maybe we will. But we're going to talk about it a little bit later on tonight. I've got an Uncle Mike story corner that is kind of scary. It really is kind of scary. All right, we have a break coming up here. So anyway, if any teabaggers are listening tonight, you phony, hypocritical little thugs, every single one of you, you really are. You're just phony, cowardly, hypocritical little thugs. Your oil, our oil, America's oil. Oh, stop it. And I'm just waiting for the governors of Mississippi and Tennessee and Louisiana and Alabama and Florida and any place else where this death of the Gulf of Mexico is going to occur. I'm just waiting to hear any of those governors. How about Piyush Jindal, the governor of Louisiana? Why aren't you saying, Piyush, that you don't want any government help? Why aren't you saying, well, you know, we don't want that. No, we want to be sovereign. You phony little bastards. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're tall. seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Al sent this in to me. He wants to know if stuff like this happened much when Junior was our illegitimate president. He says, I don't think so. Second question, so then who are the bat guano crazy contingent? The tea baggers? The tea bagger conservatives, that's who. And what he's got here, one of these oath keepers, I don't know if you all have heard about these sorry bastards, oath keepers. These are people who are in military or the police department or state troopers, and they're going to keep their oath to protect and defend the Constitution. You're damn right. And if that means going out and shooting people, well, that's the way it's going to be. And as David Nywert has at, is this Crooks and Liars? Probably is. To listen to right-wingers in the wake of the arrest of the would-be Times Square bomber, you'd think that every liberal media outlet on the planet had tried to pin the attempt on the teabaggers. I mean, where would anyone get the idea that right-wing tea-partying extremists might potentially be involved in violent domestic terrorism? Meanwhile, no one is reporting much on the arrest earlier this week by the FBI of Darren Huff, an oath keeper from Eek, Georgia, who is upset by the arrest a few weeks ago of another patriot believer who tried to conduct a sovereign citizen style arrest in Tennessee. Yes, well, you know, the law has broken down here in the South. And this is the way it's been reported. A Georgia man has been arrested in Tennessee. Authorities say he headed to Madisonville, Tennessee, armed and prepared to take over the courthouse. Darren Huff stands charged of traveling in interstate commerce with intent to incite a riot, transporting in commerce a firearm in the furtherance of a civil disorder. The FBI says this freak traveled to Tennessee armed with a pistol on his hip and an assault rifle in his truck, intent on carrying out citizens' arrests of 24 federal, state, and local officials, and on seeing that another man did not face trial for trying to do the same thing. Oh, my God. There was a video out, and you could see what happened on April 1st, of one of these free man-style sovereign citizens, a guy named Walter Francis Fitzpatrick, after writing up citizens' arrest warrants for state, local, and federal officials, had entered the Madison County Courthouse and attempted to make a citizen's arrest of a grand jury foreman. Instead, deputies there wound up arresting the freak, Fitzpatrick, and he was charged with disorderly conduct, inciting to riot, disrupting a meeting, and resisting arrest. This outraged the freak here in Georgia, Huff, a loud and proud member of the Oath Keepers, who posted the video of Fitzpatrick's arrest with a rant demanding that his fellow patriots leap into action to defend him. So on April 20th, Huff headed to Madisonville with his big black pickup truck emblazoned with the Oath Keepers logo. Yeah! In the back, he had ammo and several weapons, including a semi-automatic assault rifle. He was pulled over in Sweetwater, Tennessee, and explained and detained and later released on his own recognizance. As the story explains, the FBI interviewed a bank manager who said Huff told him on April 15th that Fitzpatrick had been falsely arrested. Huff was in the Georgia militia, and that 8 or 9 other militia groups were headed to Madisonville to take over the city. Yee-haw! The bank manager said Huff told him he'd see Huff's actions on the noon news. You watch your TV, I'm going to be on the noon news, I really am. FBI agents interviewed Huff at his home, and Huff said he would be traveling to Tennessee to help Fitzpatrick get the charges against him dropped. Huff told agents there'd be no violence. Still, he told agents he planned to travel with his Colt 45 handgun and an AK-47 rifle. Then on April 20th, officers in Madisonville reported numerous individuals in possession of openly displayed and concealed firearms in the area around the courthouse. More on this when we come back. I mean, Jesus, God. And we're worried about some doofus in Madison Square Garden. I mean, Madison Square Garden. Oh, no. In Times Square, who apparently can't even light a firecracker. I'm not trying to make light of that. That was serious business. But and here we have our own domestic white boy terrorists from Georgia. We've got crackers. We've got all these Ritz crackers running around. These not Ritz crackers. What are those white ones? Saltines. We have a whole state full of saltines down here running around. Well, I'm going to go up there and make a citizen's arrest. I'm part of Oath Keepers, and it's my patriotic duty to go up there to Tennessee and arrest them or something. I got my AK-47 and my Colt 45 and my finger up my nose and an arrow through my head, and I'm ready to go. We'll be right back.
Just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. So what we're talking about here is some freak from here in Georgia, one of these Oath Keeper morons,
who have vowed to protect and defend something.
Where were these rat bastards during 8 years of Bush-Cheney? I don't know. Probably hiding. Because they are essentially cowards, but I think what they prefer is a white fascist. The last thing they want is a dark-skinned president. They'd rather have a white fascist like Hitler or, who else, Stalin. You know, somebody like that. Oath Keepers, my ass. So this guy from here in Georgia named Huff, he cranks himself up, probably literally, because people like this eat a lot of methamphetamine, a lot of homemade speed, gets himself cranked up,
loads up with his guns, gets in his big-ass pickup truck, and drives up to Tennessee, where he's immediately busted.
Anyway, FBI agents had observed this freak leaving his home around 6:15 this particular morning. Tennessee Highway Patrol officers pulled him over in Sweetwater, Tennessee, for traffic violations. For violations of registration law and following too closely. I mean, they're such dumbasses, aren't they? So the trooper said Huff volunteered that he planned to travel to Madisonville to take over the courthouse and arrest people that he termed domestic enemies of the United States engaged in treason.
And he was going to turn those arrested over to state police to place in jail. Well, now the state police have him.
The troopers said Huff told them if they didn't have enough people on April 20th to do all they planned on that day, they'd be back in 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah, if we don't have enough, if my boys don't show up, we'll be back.
The troopers said Huff also told them he was ready to die for his rights and that he would not consent to a search of his truck.
You're not going to search my truck.
Then on April 21st, Huff recorded a radio broadcast talking about his traffic stop and saying he did have weapons and ammunition with him. As a result, the FBI believes Huff had both the intent and means to carry out threats of violence. The FBI arrested Huff in Tennessee. It appears Huff may have gone to the grand jury foreman's house on Saturday and effected his own citizen's arrest. Huff is now out on bond. Now, where would anyone get the idea that these white teabaggers might indulge in an act of domestic terrorism? dumb jerkwads. I mean, I just... See, this is what happens when you have this many people out of work.
I'm an oath keeper. I'm going to go out there and arrest people because I took an oath to arrest people. I'm going to try to get a couple of queers, too. Not to beat them up, to play with them.
Daryl in Las Vegas writes, Mike, I listen to you every night and I feel the frustration that you display on your radio show. With so much going on in our world right now, you would think teabaggers would stop with their insanity, think about what's happening, and declare that the joke was on them. Just today I saw a truck in a parking lot at Walmart with the words, God bless Glenn Beck, that this guy had painted on both sides of his truck. I'm telling you, Glenn Beck is like Jim Jones. Eventually, he is going to kill himself, but he's going to take about 3,000-4,000 people with him. You watch. Darrell writes, the bottom line is that there is no helping the clinically insane. Glenn Beck should feel the shame of himself for creating a circus around our political process, especially when he saw that people were taking him serious. Darrell, that's not going to happen. Glenn Beck is making lots of money. He's become a multimillionaire by jerking around these dumbass teabagger types, okay? The man owned the truck said, and I quote, I could give a flying crap about the political process. Or was that Beck? Making money, on the other hand, is to be taken very seriously, and controversy is its own coinage. We're an entertainment company. Yeah, I guess that was Beck that said that. What scares me is if I was to expose this quote to these teabaggers, would they accept it or would they say I got that from a liberal blog site, despite the fact that it came from Forbes magazine? I love to go to magic shows and try to figure out how a trick is done. The biggest trick I've yet to figure out is how corporate entities have figured out a way to make fake grassroots dummies fight with them instead of against them. How about the mind trick where I live in a trailer park and believe that someday I will live in a mansion if I continue to vote Republican? So again, I understand your frustration with everything that's happening on our planet. But as long as there are Republicans, I can never see anything positive coming to us. The sad thing about my outlook, Mike, is that I'm only 31. Yeah, that is sad. But it's sadness born of reality, right? God. Yeah, anybody who takes any of these baggers who think that Glenn Beck is their savior, I think you people will get eventually what's coming to you because of your monumental ignorance. But in the meantime, he plays you like a harmonica. I mean, you people are just so willing to be sheared over and over and over again. You're like mindless sheep. Oh, my God. I mean, here, do me again. Shear me again. Who's now? Sean Hannity. Oh, take me. Take the money from the soldiers, dead soldiers. Take the money from their widows and orphans. Ah, where's Limbaugh? Oh, Rush, I love you. You're a goddamn junkie and a drug addict, but I love you. I love you, man. I love you. I like to get my arms around you and hug all that blubbery fat and just tell you how much I love you. And now it's Glenn Beck. Oh, Glenn, I seen you cry on the electric television there. You had tears coming down your eyes because our republic is dying. Oh, Glenn. You people are crazy. Oh, the latest Christian crap. Franklin Graham again. First of all, Barack Obama stopped in there. We told you about that. Stopped in to their little Blue Ridge mountain home up there in North Carolina. Beautiful country. Trust me, it is if you've never been there. But they've got some really strange people, Ridge Runners, of which Billy and Franklin Graham are two of the more well-known. Ridge Runners, you got to watch out for them, man. Anyway, Franklin and Billy Graham met with Barack Obama, and afterward raised with Obama his frustration over the Pentagon's decision last month to uninvite him from a national prayer day at the military complex. After his conversation with the president, Franklin said Obama told him he was going to look into it. You're going to look into it.
Yeah.
All right, sit down, white boy. I'll look into it for you, okay? Calm yourself down. Go read your Bible. Go out there and back and pick some blueberries. I'll look into it. I'm the president. I'll look into it. Go sit down. Take a break. Do you have to go to the bathroom? Okay, Franklin, bye-bye. Anyway, the president has not moved quickly enough or in the right direction for this freak. And with the National Day of Prayer set for, is it tomorrow? Is tomorrow National Day of Prayer? Amen? Hallelujah! Ah! With tomorrow, the National Day of Prayer, and with the nation riveted on last week's near-miss Times Square bombing, Franklin Graham has been ramping up his public criticism of Obama with language that is as politically explosive as anything his father ever said. On Monday, for example, Graham accused Obama of giving Islam a pass and said the revoking of his invitation to the prayer service was, quote, a slap to all evangelical Christians, unquote. No, Franklin, it wasn't. It was a slap to your bony, ugly, drug-addled ass. How long were you on cocaine, Franklin? How long were you whoring around all over the planet? How many drugs did you run up your nose, huh? You are now cocaine crazy, Franklin. It's not a slap to all evangelicals. It's a slap to you, you freak. Why don't you just stay up in those mountains up there in Tennessee? Go grow yourself some coca plants. Set up a meth lab down there. Billy doesn't get around anymore. I mean, he just sits in his rocking chair drooling all day waiting for Jesus to get him. So why don't you go into the basement there, you freak, and make yourself up some of that hillbilly heroin stuff, huh, Franklin? Ah! He went on to say, I am being restricted from my religious rights and from what I believe. Hey, dumbass, you've been told you can't go to the Pentagon. The Pentagon has to be government property. There is a separation of church and state. But aside from that, your religious rights have not been restricted. Go stand outside the Pentagon, you freak, and say anything you want. Take a little bag of methamphetamine with you and run it up your nose and stand there and just babble on, talk about snakes and go into tongues and look at them bugs crawling around and hallelujah, God is coming and Barack Obama was born in Kenya and he won't let me come into the Pentagon. Ooh, get these things off of me. Oh my God, how did these spiders and things get on me? Ah! Franklin Graham, here's to you, buddy. You know, I have a word for you, Franklin. I can't say it on the air, but this is what I think of you. We'll be back.
Old 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders in my fatigues, black jacket, and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side.
All of those years.
No more Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Just a little bit more on this psychopath, Franklin Graham, who has, way burned out all his brain synapses from all the cocaine he did. Yesterday, Graham told USA Today that if Barack Obama does not order the Pentagon to include him in the prayer service, quote, it will be a slap in the face of all Christians, end quote. And he said he would pray in front of the Pentagon in protest if he were not reinvited. Well, that's what I just said. Now you're thinking, Franklin, every once in a while when you've done too much coke, a thought will get through, a real thought. Ah. In the interview in USA Today, Franklin also renewed his criticism of Islam, saying, Muslims do not worship the same God the Father I worship. Yes, they do. But, the the father thing in there. I see. Okay. Well, actually, Franklin, you coked out freak. The Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims all worship the same God. That's why you people are out of your goddamn minds, because you're always killing each other, right? But anyway, he went on to say, he took a swipe at Hinduism, saying, now get this. Now tell me this guy is not drugged out of his mind. Tell me this is not somebody whose brain has been burned into a cinder from too much coke. Listen to this. No elephant with 100 arms can do anything for me. That's his take on Hinduism, right? No elephant with 100 arms can do anything for me. None of their 9,000 gods is going to lead me to salvation. We are fooling ourselves if we think we can have some big kumbaya service and all hold hands and it's all going to get better in this world. It's not going to get better. Well, Franklin, you're probably right, but not for the reasons you think you're right, okay? It's not because there are homosexuals running around. It's not because there are still people who like to do cocaine like you did. Oh, Jesus, did you do cocaine, right, Franklin? Woo! It's because people of your ilk have destroyed the earth. Now, if you're waiting to step off this earthly coil into some little heavenly paradise where, you know, you get to play a harp and have sex with 72 virgins or whatever you believe, and see that 100-armed elephant, got news for you, Franklin. When you die, you are going to step into darkness. Ah, what a freak. What a freak. Franklin Graham. Well, you know, look at the children of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You talk about a messed up group. All three of his living kids, Dr. King's kids, are just screwballs. They're just total screwballs. They fight over the money from the King estate. They sell his papers. Look at Franklin Graham. I mean, here's a guy, Billy Graham, who's had a direct phone line to Jesus for 50 years, 60, 70 years. And Franklin keeps getting a dial, you know, get a busy signal. Every time Franklin tries to dial God, hello, God? God? You know, he gets a busy signal. And then he goes, Dad, what's Jesus's number? And he tries Jesus. He gets Jesus. Jesus says, Franklin, you really piss me off. You really piss me off. Go sit down. Go do a line. Whatever you want to do. Get off my phone. That's got to be rough. You know what I'm saying? That's got to be rough. So there's old Franklin, desperate to be acknowledged by his dad. And, of course, his dad is just sitting around in the rocking chair drooling, desperate to be recognized by God or Jesus. And God or Jesus keep ignoring him. The only thing Franklin hears are those voices in his head. I talked to Jesus today. No, you didn't, Franklin. You talked to yourself. Oh, no. I was out back in the little house behind the house, and I was sitting back there, and I reached up for a corn cob, and all of a sudden I heard the Lord. No, you didn't, Franklin. You heard yourself. Oh, poor Franklin Graham. Miserable bastard. Speaking of that, this is from Wes in Portland. Mike, I've been listening to you on and off for 3 years or so. When I first started listening, I was an evangelical of 46 years, having earned a Bachelor of Theology and served as a missionary in Europe. When I returned to live in America after 17 years, I was shocked by how right-wing and anti-science the evangelical community was, and it prompted me to take a sharp turn left in my politics and worldview. I would listen to your program and get upset whenever you used what I deem profanity, especially in the name of Jesus. I would turn off your program. Well, in the last 2 or 3 years, I started seriously examining my evangelical faith, quote, and found it seriously lacking in many areas. The concept of hell, all the OT stories, what's OT? Which are laughable if taken literally. Oh, Old Testament. And all the contradictions in the New Testament gospel narratives about the life of Jesus. Long story short, I am now a confirmed agnostic and stopped calling myself a Christian over a year ago. I now appreciate your approach so much more. Your knowledge of the Bible and the evangelical culture gives you a solid platform from which to expose the foibles and hypocrisies of American Christianity. I understand now like I never did before. Wes, I won't say what town Wes is in. He puts in parentheses, not completely out yet because of my elderly believing mother. Out, you mean out of Christianity or out because of your sexual orientation? I don't know. Anyway, bless you. Bless you, Wes. Bless you, my son. I'll tell you what, Wes, if you listen to this program, it's a wonder you have anything left to believe in. But that's all right. I love you, brother. I love you, brother. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. All right? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Back to this email from Tony in Maine about the oil gusher that is releasing hell into the Gulf of Mexico. He said, this is why we need you to keep pounding this point. We need to start contacting our representatives, putting more and more pressure on the government to step in and plug this damn well soon, very soon, before the worst case scenario takes place. And by this time next year, we will be talking about the total evacuation of citizens who live along the Gulf Coast from Florida to Texas. I'm not sure why this story is being underplayed. Perhaps they don't want to start a panic, but we are only in the first inning of this story, and it's very possible for them to act before that wellhead gives out. But we need to put the pressure on them to do so. We need to be told the real story so it will wake people up. Tony in Maine. This press release from Annie Day Media. The explosion of the Deepwater Horizon drilling platform that killed 11 workers on April 20 threatens to become a massive and perhaps unparalleled environmental disaster. Current estimates are that 200,000 gallons a day are gushing out of the seafloor 1 mile beneath the surface. The spill endangers fragile marshes, ponds, creeks, lakes, wetlands, making up 40% of U.S. total wetlands. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries estimate that at least 400 species, from shrimp to pelicans to river otters, could be impacted by the oil. This is a capitalist oil spill. The Gulf of Mexico has been turned into a vast laboratory for deep water oil drilling to serve capitalism's relentless drive for profit and strategic control of energy resources. Official U.S. government policy has encouraged this and has refused to require use of the most advanced technology to stop disasters like this. The inconvenient truth is that this oil leak could have been prevented, but it is cost-effective for companies like BP to scrimp on safety and environmental protection measures and equipment. The capitalist system depends on highly profitable and environmentally destructive fossil fuels. Remember, the Obama administration just a month ago proposed massively expanding offshore U.S. drilling. Well, President Obama himself offered this assurance, quote, oil rigs today generally don't cause spills, end quote. And this comes after the deliberate failure, engineered mainly by the United States, of the December 2009 Copenhagen climate talks to take any meaningful action to stop global warming. This is outrageous and immoral. What is happening in the Gulf points to the reality that the capitalist system is unable and unwilling to protect the planet and the people. Yeah. That's very true. As I've said on this program for years, capitalism is a death system. It is destructive. It is anti-family. It is anti-life. It is anti-child. It is anti-working person. It is anti-every goddamn thing. It is a filthy, degenerate system that has gotten to the point where it's going to crush every single bit of life on this planet. Absolutely end it. No? You don't think so? Tell me how it's not going to happen. It's pretty bad. Okay. Let's, oh, by the way, did you hear that John Boehner, this filthy piece of human waste who is the House Minority Leader, and Senator Mary Landrieu, the first being a Republican, the second being a Democrat. And this is how disgusting and sick this whole thing has become. Both of them. Think Progress has a story of a couple, these two, who still seem in denial of this unfolding disaster. Roll call reports that yesterday Boehner said, quote, "The tragedy should remind us that America needs the Republicans' pro-drilling energy plan." That's what we're supposed to be reminded by this horror that's going on in the Gulf. Here's what he said. He didn't say this. I'll get to the quote. This is what Roll Call reported. House Republican leaders are once again sounding the drumbeat for passage of their sidelined pro-drilling energy reform package, even as state and federal officials scramble to stem a massive Gulf oil spill. John Boehner said Monday in a statement, "This tragedy should remind us that America needs a real comprehensive energy plan, like Republicans' all-of-the-above strategy." Wait to hear what Mary Landrieu said. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. So John Boehner, the House Minority Leader, and Mary Landrieu, Senator from a Democratic Senator from Louisiana, both are saying that the drilling has got to go on, even more of it. Boehner is referring to his all-of-the-above strategy is the Republican proposal, which was first rolled out in the summer of 2008 and has been brought up several times since then. And it would, among other things, open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and lift the moratorium on drilling on the Outer Continental Shelf, which is on the East Coast, I believe. And meanwhile, Senator Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, referred to as perhaps the oil industry's best friend in the Democratic Party, is using the tragedy to call for what she refers to as accelerated oil revenue sharing from the feds and a demand that, quote, "we not retreat from further drilling." She has called on her colleagues to not retreat from plans for more drilling once the BP investigation is complete. You crazy psychopath. Once the investigation is complete, What about once your state becomes unlivable? Damn these people. I mean, seriously. Hours. That's what it took, according to New York's police commissioner. 53 hours from the time this Glenn Beck follower from Pakistan, well, actually he's an American citizen now, from the time he attempted to set off his little cherry bombs inside the car to ignite everything else, 53 hours from that moment till they snatched him off a jet heading for the United Arab Emirates. 53 hours. You notice all the silence from these right-wing pigs? Now, I don't know if there's a lot of silence because I don't listen to the garbage on radio, talk radio. 53 hours. Every single terrorist that has done damage in this country has been captured if there's been a Democrat in office. The first attack on the Trade Towers, the so-called blind sheikh, the Egyptian who is now serving 10 years to eternity, or life to eternity, in a supermax prison. How long did it take to grab Timothy McVeigh and send his ass on to hell? The guy that did the bombing down here in Georgia during the Olympics, took 5 years to catch that slick son of a bitch, but he was wandering around North Carolina mountains. You can get lost in those mountains forever. Who else? The shoe bomber. The underpants bomber. I mean, all of these people have been immediately, or within a reasonable period of time, caught, read their rights, tried, convicted, and either executed or jailed. And now this poor, misguided 30-year-old who had too much religious garbage filling his head or listened to too much Glenn Beck once he got to the United States, now he is going to spend the rest of his life in the slam. And these filthy right-wing, and McCain, John McCain, you know, I've said before, McCain was a military, he's the worst kind of military. He was a coward. He killed people from 30,000 feet up in the air, or 10,000 feet up the air. He was an absolute cowardly twit whose father happened to be the Supreme Allied Commander in the Pacific during the murder in Vietnam, the mass murder, the genocide, and the deaths of almost 60,000 of our own people. But McCain was an absolute coward. And now, McCain is calling for destruction of the very Constitution that when he took an oath as an officer, he swore to uphold. McCain stinks. He is pure human filth. He's got another piece of human waste running against him in Arizona, this J.D. Hayworth pig. Oh, my God, what a vampire this guy is, huh? Have you seen pictures of him? Holy jumping Jesus, And poor McCain, poor, cowardly, stinking John McCain. What did he say today that, you know, reading this guy his constitutional rights? Where is it? Here it is. This is from Crooks and Liars. According to President in His Own Mind McCain, Faisal Shahzad should not have been read his Miranda rights despite his standing as U.S. citizen. According to The Hill, McCain, the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee and longtime leading Republican on national security issues, said he expected the suspect in this case could face charges that might warrant a death sentence if convicted. McCain said during an appearance on Imus in the Morning, oh my God, when he was asked whether the suspect, 30-year-old Faisal Shahzad, a naturalized American citizen from Pakistan, McCain said, obviously, reading his rights would be a serious mistake, at least until we find out as much information we have. That's a direct quote. McCain added, don't give this guy his Miranda rights until we find out what it's all about. So it comes down to this. Republicans say that suspects like Abdul Muttalib, the Detroit underwear bomber, and Shahzad, the SUV bomber, should be classified as an enemy combatant, which gives authorities more leeway in torturing them and beating whatever out of them that they want to beat out of them. The Arizona Republican, that would be McCain, however, said he expected the criminal justice system to play itself out in such a way that Shahzad would face the death penalty if convicted. And what McCain, this filthy, cowardly little piglet, if this thing were conducted his way, any conviction of Faisal Shahzad would be thrown out. Any conviction would be thrown out if he's tried in a civilian court, which is where he should be tried. Just like Timothy McVeigh was. These Republicans are skunks. The problem with McCain's twisted logic, this man, this guy who tried to blow up Times Square, is a United States citizen. Unless we've declared war on ourselves, it would be a bit difficult to have him classified as an enemy combatant. And even more fundamentally, the Hill says, where does that line fall? Should any U.S. citizen arrested for what appears to be an act of violence against another person be stripped of his or her constitutional rights? If McCain dreams of a day where this guy is executed because he tried and failed to turn a Nissan Pathfinder into a supercharged Molotov cocktail, he ought to be demanding that his Miranda rights be read to him immediately on videotape in order to survive any and all challenges to his arrest on constitutional grounds. What is wrong with these filthy goddamn Republicans? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. Not one of them respects the Constitution. You see these filthy half-animal teabaggers wandering around holding up copies of the Constitution as if they respected it or knew what it said? Please. McCain and these bagger freaks and this soon-to-commit-suicide Glenn Beck make a lot of noise about, oh, we got to get back to constitutional fundamentals. Yeah, that's what I want. I want to go back to the Constitution. Yeah, I should. They don't have a clue about what those fundamentals are. Yeah, we ought to get back to I love my Constitution. Barack Obama was born in Kenya. He's not even a citizen. 53 hours to capture this guy. And the one that committed acts of terror, if you want to believe the official story, against the United States during the Bush-Cheney era, where is he at? What is it, 9 years now? 9 years? Where's Osama bin Laden? Huh? The Clinton administration got the first World Trade Center bomber. That didn't take very long, did it? And every single one of these terrorists that have operated in the United States during the time when a Democrat was in office, every single one of them was captured, tried, convicted, sentenced, shot, hanged, whatever. Executed, is what I'm trying to say there. Or jailed for the rest of their lives. You filthy Republicans, you make me want to throw up blood.
watches C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malone.
It is 10 before the hour. So now there's all kinds of debate about whether or not it was correct to read this 30-year-old Pakistani American his rights. I just wonder sometimes what these filthy Republicans think about. You know, they on the one hand they scream about the Constitution, but they're really trying to say is he's a black man. I'm sure there'll be more on this. 53 hours. Keep that in mind. Bush and Cheney, like O.J. Simpson, are still looking for the culprits. We talked last night. As a matter of fact, I shared with you a piece written by an engineer. We had a lot of requests for that today about the absolute maximum potential for disaster that this gusher. This is not an oil spill, truth seekers. This is a gusher that's a mile under the surface of the ocean. It's a gusher. It's like in the movies, you know. It's not a spill. The loop current, that's the part of the Gulf Stream that goes north from the coast of Mexico up along the Mississippi Gulf Coast, down the west coast of Florida, around through the Straits of Florida and up the east coast. It's why people can live in the British Isles. And even though they're on the same latitude as what? Nova Scotia, and still have four seasons. It's because of the Gulf Stream. And it's referred to as the loop current as it goes around. It comes out of the Gulf, goes around through the Straits of Florida and up the east coast of the United States. Robert Weisberg, an oceanographer at University of South Florida, who has been modeling the movement of this oil spill, says, quote, filaments of the loop current are within a few tens of kilometers of the oil spill. Once the current catches the spill, he said, the speed of the current is such that it only takes a week before oil will be at entrance of the Florida Straits and another week until it gets as far as Miami. Whether the oil gets into the Florida Bay or the Everglades depends on what local winds are doing when the oil is flowing past. Weisberg said he could not predict the actual timing, quote, but it appears to be imminent, end quote, he said. Quote, it looks like it is going to happen sooner rather than later. The loop current moves very fast. End quote. Now, this is in the LA Times. As for the oil's trajectory, he said, quote, whatever comes will flow west of Dry Tortugas and toward Cuba before it comes back north. End quote. For the oil to get into the vicinity of shallow water in the Florida Bay, Weisberg said the current, quote, would have to take oil, into passes from south to north. It is difficult to get a lot of oil into the Florida Bay, end quote. Elaborating on the nature of the loop current, Weisberg explained, quote, the loop current is always there. The question is how far north it extends. The current extends further north into the Gulf until it sheds an eddy. A piece breaks off and moves west. The rest shifts to the south. That process of moving north and eddy shedding repeats itself. It happens every 8 to 16 months. Right now, it is in the process of moving north. Weisberg said that if the oil remains in deep water, quote, there is not an immediate threat to the western coast of Florida, end quote. But he added, quote, the longer the oil leaks, the more it gets in shallow water along the northern coast, and it makes its way south, closer to shore, the more there is danger. Fortunately, he said, we are coming out of a strong wind season and going to a weaker wind season. As for Miami's beaches, he said, whether oil makes landfall anywhere depends on what the winds are doing at that point in time. It is likely there could be oil on beaches in Miami. That was in the LA Times today. The New York Times yesterday. No one, not even the oil industry's most fervent apologist, is making light of this accident. The contaminated area of the Gulf continues to spread, and oil has been found in some of the fragile marshes at the tip of Louisiana. The beaches and coral reefs of the Florida Keys could be hit if the slick is captured by the Gulf's clockwise loop current. But on Monday, the wind was pushing the slick in the opposite direction, away from the current. The worst effects of the spill have yet to be felt, and if efforts to contain the oil are even partly successful and the weather cooperates, the worst could be avoided. Now, that's the way the New York Times reports it. And in today's Washington Post, the initial piece that the Post had posted earlier today appears to have been taken down, but I can give you a paraphrase. To wit, the industry hasn't made any comment on the Gulf loop current issue. So there's nothing we can say about that at this time. I swear to God, that's what the Washington Post said. This comes from LHM. So the LA Times is quoting a scientist or an engineer, oceanographer who very categorically says if this stuff gets into the loop current, that's what we were talking about the other night. If it does get into the loop current, it's going to pollute the beaches of England, Scotland. Think about that. We'll be back after the break.
It's hard to know when to lock in your rate, but there's no need to worry with the 2-year Raise Your Rate CD from Ally Bank. If rates go up, you have the opportunity of a one-time rate increase, and with an interest rate that's among the most competitive.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. So, this argument on whether to Mirandize or Mirandaize or however you want to say it to give this bomber suspect, Faisal Shahzad, an American citizen, whether or not he should be read his Miranda rights when he was arrested. And, of course, McCain and most Republicans saying, no, no, no! I think it goes to show how the Republican Party has become a party of totalitarianism, of dictatorship, of torture, murder, mayhem, targeted assassination. Of course, Obama authorized that too, didn't he? Huh? But I think it shows the extent to which the Republican Party has become a nest of complete psychopaths. On the one hand, their talk, everything they say is a complete inversion of the truth. It always, not always has been, but it certainly has been for the past 20 years, a complete inversion. If it's white, they'll call it black. If it's up, they'll call it down. And it's not because they're trying to be contrary. It's because they are morons. They actually believe up is down and white is black and left is right. They believe that because their minds have been so scrambled by this conservative Republican ideology, which makes absolutely no sense. We are experiencing right-wing Republican, let's not even call it right-wing anymore. We are experiencing Republican ideology now, right now, in its most grotesque and advocated form. Predatory capitalism, that is a Republican system of, it's an organizing principle of the Republican Party. Always has been, always will be. But it's gotten so bad. So you have an entire political party made up of God knows what anymore. I have no idea who Republicans are, except they hate America. They hate children. They hate the unemployed. Unless it's themselves. If it's themselves, then they shift that hate to the Negro in the White House. He's from Kenya! And he wants to take Acorn and a whole boat full of queers to go out and blow up an oil rig. Sick, sick bastards. The whole argument, do we Mirandize somebody? If he is an American, New York's Peter King, ranking Republican in the House Homeland Security Committee, said, did they Mirandize him? I know he's an American citizen, but still. What does but still mean? That's what my five-year-old daughter says. Well, Mommy, I don't want to eat my green beans. Well, you have to if you want dessert. But still, This is a Republican member of the House. The ranking Republican. Did they Mirandize him? I know he's an American citizen, but still. American Enterprise Institute, Mac Thiessen. Also sided with freaks like King and McCain. Thiessen, whatever the hell his name is, says that finding out whether Shahzad knows about any other planned attacks trumps everything else. No, this is not a goddamn television program, you moron. This is not 24, although Republicans love to think it is, don't they? Mark Thiessen said the only reason to read Shahzad his Miranda rights would be to preserve what he says as evidence is a criminal trial. No, the only reason would be because he's an American citizen, you freak bastard. How about you, Mark Thiessen? Supposing they didn't want to read you your Miranda rights, you'd be peeing all over your jail cell, wouldn't you? He went on to say, our first priority should not be preserving evidence for his trial. It should be getting intelligence from him. Oh, I see. Now, this is all aside from the fact that this guy spilled his guts as soon as he was arrested. He's still talking, as far as we know. Thiessen also blasted the Obama administration's handling of the so-called underpants bomber, Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, charged with blowing up that airliner over Detroit. Thiessen said, one would think that the administration would have learned its lesson and held off on reflexively reading this terrorist his Miranda rights. Oh, my God. This would be the first guy to say that you know how quickly they say this terrorist. If it were somebody, some right-winger, like Timothy McVeigh or this group of crazy people in the Midwest, did you hear about that? Where is that article? Remember those people, the, what were they called? The, oh God, what were they called, Kathy? The whole group of crazy-looking militia types. They all looked like they were all brothers and sisters and their own parents, you know? They look like the purest example of inbreeding. Where is that story? Damn it. Anyway, a judge has released all of them. Let them out on bond. Huh?
You're talking about PNAC?
No. Those people that were busted, we did the story last week. Where is that? Or a couple of weeks ago. Oh, here it is. A judge ordered on Monday, yesterday, that the 9 jailed members of a Michigan militia be released, saying there's no risk to the public if they go home while awaiting trial on charges of trying to plot war against the government. Jesus God! The Huttery militia gang who wanted to kill, maim, and murder. Now the judge says, well, kids will be kids. You know, there's no law against talking crap. They weren't really going to kill cops. No, let's, their defense lawyers say it's just a case of irrational, hateful speech. Oh, okay. This is a group that stated categorically, these Huttery, inbred, thumb-sucking freaks, that they planned to kill police officers. They were charged with a conspiracy to commit sedition and attempted use of weapons of mass destruction. What has the guy who was busted for the Times Square thing, what's he been charged with? Attempted use of a weapon of mass destruction. Son of a bitch, which one is in jail tonight and which ones are free? Where are these right-wing pigs where it concerns these Huttery types, huh? Of course, they have names like John Jones and Ralph Smith. They don't have a name like Mutalab. David Stone. The judge who released them said prosecutors failed to rebut the defendant's position that the only live fire training amounted to shooting at dirt mounds on private property twice a year. Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Well, okay. Let's release them. Huh? Where is John McCain about this group? Where is Mark Thiessen about this group? Where is Peter King about this group? Ya phony bastards.
Get out of the way, boys. Quick, get out of the way. You'd better watch what you say, boys. Better watch what you say. So bring your daughters around to the bar, 'cause we're the cops of the world, boy.
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour from Roz in Canada. Mike, while your 9 o'clock news break was on, I watched a bit of Anderson Cooper. He had Michael Brown. Remember him? Former head of FEMA. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. He had Michael Brown on, and Brown was saying that Obama deliberately took his time doing something about the oil spill because he really wants to do away with offshore drilling altogether. Michael Brown called it a conspiracy theory. I think these people are trying to discredit the government and force the continuation of the offshore drilling projects. Maybe they think people will really believe that the oil spill could have been stopped by Obama. They never give up, Roz. No, they don't. You live just north of the northernmost wall of a massive asylum, Roz, filled with 330 million of us, a huge percentage of which is crazy, completely blubbering crazy. Let's do some phone calls. Blue, the jet pilot, is in Kowloon, Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Hey, Blue.
Yeah, good day, Mike.
How are you?
Well, I'm pretty well. I'm glad to hear everything came out with the operation and so on.
Oh yeah, it worked just fine. Thank you very much.
Look, to start with, I don't know a single professional pilot who believes for a moment the story of the official story of September 11th. Who believes for a moment that the aircraft could possibly have knocked the buildings down or even contributed materially to knocking the airplanes down.
Right.
As far as the rest of us in the world are concerned, it's a way of keeping you people in line, of, rolling back your constitution and all the rest of it, justifying the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And as far as the rest of us are concerned, there's really not a whole lot to choose between Bush and Obama. And so every few months since 9/11, we've seen them come up with some bumbling fool like this poor Drongo they arrested today or yesterday, who hasn't the slightest idea what he's doing, who has some vague connection that they've probably established for him with some group in Pakistan or Afghanistan.
No, wait. So you think this guy is just a patsy? He's totally innocent and has no, even though. There are all sorts of clues, and granted, clues can be very easily planted, but I take it your position, Blue, is that the whole thing is a setup with this guy today.
Well, if you look back, there's been a series of these, 8 or 10 of them since September 11th of 2001. In every case, it turns out the FBI has practically begged these guys to do something. They provided them either with weapons that were completely false.
Oh yeah, you're right. There have been several of those cases.
Weapons that don't
right.
work at all.
Right.
I mean, the guy with the underpants, I mean, the bomb, it was Semtex. It would never have gone off with matches. And any professional terrorist would have known that.
Right.
And so here's this guy. He's got a bomb in a car, and there's smoke coming out of it, and somebody conveniently sees it.
Right.
They seize the thing, and it turns out it would never have gone off in the first place.
Well, so, doesn't that speak to the inefficiency, I hate to use that word, the inefficiency of a 30-year-old would-be terrorist who goes to Pakistan, gets a little bit of training, comes back and says, well, let's see, I guess I put some fertilizer in here.
I don't think so. It speaks to the idea that they're going out recruiting these people in order to keep everybody in line. They've got to give them a sort of a booster shot every few months when they think they're forgetting about 9/11.
Well, see, I believed that during the Bush years, every time they had the color-coded terror alerts and John Ashcroft would get on the television from Moscow and warn the American people that they had foiled another plot. But they were using terror. Now, I'm not saying that the Obama administration or people that work within or aside or control the Obama administration don't have the same mindset. I'm not saying that at all. But I just can't at this point. You may be right, Blue, but at this point, I cannot believe that these incidents like the shoe bomber in the sky today was a CIA, FBI plot to keep the American people wandering around, mewling like a bunch of newborn kittens.
If you accept what most of us in the rest of the world, outside of what George Galloway, the Scottish MP, calls the bubble, which means the United States,
right?
If you accept what most of us believe, and if you've read, for example, Robin Cook's book, you know, the former Secretary of Foreign Secretary of the UK,
right?
Who said, look, the whole thing is the creation of the CIA. Al-Qaeda, the whole business.
Right,
and he should know.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that, with that idea. And
most of us, I'm sorry, but most of us see absolutely no difference between Obama and Bush. I mean, the wars continue, the domestic spying's continuing, your CIA bloke said that. They've still got the secret prisons. I mean, the guy is continuing all of these policies, And so why should they not continue to find these blokes, you know, that have no clue what they're doing?
Right, right. Well, you make a good case. You make a case a lot of people listen to this program make, and one that I don't necessarily completely disagree with. But, Blue, I've got to leave it there. We have to do some break, a commercial break here. Thanks, Blue. Appreciate it. Take care. We'll be right back.
This old town's filled with sin. It'll swallow you in. If you got some money to burn, so take it home right away. You got 3 years to pay. But Satan is waiting.
Are you burdened? The primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
He went to fight wars for his country and his king, of his honor and his glory. The people would sing. Ooh, what a lucky man.
25 before the hour. I get what Blue was saying, and I don't know what the way I rave and rant about the controlling elite in this country and predatory capitalism and how nobody gives a tinker's damn. I guess it sounds sort of foolish to me sometimes to say, well, no, Blue or whoever. I don't believe that all of these events are engineered. I guess that does sound sort of naive or foolish to people, especially people who don't live in this country. But that's the position I sort of take at this time. I don't think that the guy, the so-called underwear bomber, or this guy the other night in Times Square, I don't think that these are CIA plants. But on the other hand, we talk and talk and talk on this program, or I haven't lately, about the 9/11 attack, how 19 people were able to come to this country, defeat an entire military-industrial establishment with box cutters, and use the airplanes as missiles. But, you know, my feeling about that, that 9/11, I believe there were actually, that those were people intent on committing mayhem in this country. But what I believe is it was engineered in a sense by the Cheney administration. They let it happen. They knew full well what was going on, and they could have stopped it and chose not to. You know, I don't mean to suggest, I don't think I have, maybe I have over the past 9 years. I don't know. I don't think I've suggested that, you know, the airplanes were taken over by some sort of external control and flown into buildings, and there were no 19 bombers. I don't know anymore. And but that's pretty much what I believe, that the Bush administration let that happen. They could have stopped it. But as far as this guy that was busted the other night, and the underwear bomber, and Timothy McVeigh, was Timothy McVeigh a plant? Was he an operative for the CIA? Was who was the guy that blew up the set the bomb off here at the Olympics? Eric Rudolph, was he a plant? I mean, we only see these guys as being possible CIA operatives if they're Muslims or Arabs, and I think that's a bit. I think that's a bit naive. I really do. If we are putting people out there, why would it just be Muslims or Arabs or people with odd sounding to American ears last names? I mean, other than the 9/11 bombing, the biggest act of terror in this country since the War of 1812 was Timothy McVeigh. Nobody talked about Mirandizing him. Nobody talked about he was a CIA plant. Nobody suggested that he really secretly worked for the FBI. And if he did or he was, boy, what a fool, because he's now dead. And the Egyptian sheikh that made the first attempt to blow up the Trade Center, was he a CIA operative? As far as we know, no, he wasn't. Now, granted, this bumbling, stumbling, Keystone Cops-like FBI has attempted, like the Liberty City 7 or whatever. Remember the guys down in Liberty City, Miami? How long ago? A couple 3 years ago? And all they really wanted was new shoes or new boots or something. And the FBI had them set up. They were going to go up and blow up the Sears building in Chicago. Hey, you boys want to blow up the Sears building? Yeah, what do we got to do to do? What do we get for doing that? We'll give you new shoes. Oh, yeah, we'll blow up the building. Why? What's up? You know, I mean, that kind of nonsense is nonsense. And that's the problem here. You have a bunch of Keystone Cops types, like apparently works for the FBI and certainly the CIA, in addition to being competent murderers and killers, they're also dumbasses to a large extent. Come on, you know they are. You have them setting up these innocent, stupid people, Americans. Of course, you know, again, this is during the Bush years, but comparing that to a guy gets on a plane in where did the underwear bomber get on the plane? In the UAE? Qatar? I forget. Doesn't matter. And because he's an idiot and incompetent, he attempts to set off a bomb by lighting it with a match. This guy the other night tries to set off a bomb with firecrackers. I mean, that's, you know, to me, that's not the result of an FBI plot. That's the result of stupid Muslim terrorists who get these halfwits and say, look, here's what I want you to do. I don't know. My head hurts. I get sick of thinking about it. Steve is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
My head hurts a little bit, too.
Jesus, man.
I told Kathy earlier at the alliteration night here, I got McCain, I got Miranda, I got Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was appropriate to bring up McCain, the war criminal, on this day.
Okay.
Black Day.
Yeah.
Even 40 years later, it's still a Black Day when guardsmen shoot unarmed students.
Sure, sure.
On a campus.
Sure, absolutely.
Miranda. How long have we had Miranda? I was trying to think, and you know, don't send me the emails, but it was late 60s, early 70s.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
The Miranda Law?
Wasn't that Carmen Miranda had to do with Bob Hope and Big? No, I'm just kidding. The Miranda
no,
rights.
No fruit headgear.
Yeah, no. I think it was in the 60s. Yeah, it was in the 60s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A guy who, you know, took the case to Supreme Court. He wasn't, read his rights. And I think it was the Warren Court, wasn't it? The Earl Warren was the Chief Justice at the time.
Very late stages, perhaps. It's been so long. Anyway, from that point, the right has attacked Miranda. At every chance they get.
Oh, sure, unless it's
every
them.
Every chance they get.
Unless it's them.
Right.
Why didn't they attack Miranda where it concerned Timothy McVeigh?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And to Blue's point, I hear him, but the one sticking question that I have about the whole 9/11 thing is, you know, why was NORAD told to stand down? Why weren't fighters just buzzing all these planes?
Right.
That was incredible.
My answer to that is this was an order by the Bush crime family to step back and let whatever was going to happen happen so that they could then go ahead with the damage that they wreaked on this country over the next 8 years.
I mean, their madness.
Yeah, I don't have any problem in believing that the Bush crime family set us up for that and then allowed it to happen. I don't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah.
But I do not believe that those 19 bombers were all CIA operatives or that they didn't exist or whatever. I mean, sure they existed. Were they duped into it? Well, apparently so. In one way or another, they were led to believe that they could pull off an act like this against the United States, and they succeeded. Of course, it instantly killed all of them, too. I realize those pictures have surfaced. Those are not the people that died, obviously. But but as far as 9/11 is concerned, I think that the Bush crime family let it happen. So that's my attitude. All right. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you checking in. Tony writes, you should listen more to what Blue has to say, especially coming from a person who doesn't live here and doesn't have to be barraged with the crap we get 24 hours a day passing his news. And don't forget that even though Bush, Cheney are gone, that doesn't mean that they still don't have people in the Pentagon, FBI, and CIA. Isn't it strange that these so-called terrorists can't even light a bomb? I think if you train Molly, she could defuse a bomb. Tony. Yeah, I cannot for the life of me see a conspiracy or a plot in every single thing that happens in this sad, dying country. I just can't. I'm not denying that there's a lot of chicanery that goes on, a lot of duplicity, a lot of evil behind the scenes manipulation. But I feel that most of that comes from corporate media. Not necessarily from these morons in the FBI and the CIA. We'll be right back. Before the hour, Elaine is in Helsinki, Finland. Hey, Elaine.
Hi, Mike. How are you? I know it's been ages since we've talked.
It has been.
Yeah, I wish your show didn't come on at 4 in the morning, but anyway. But the good news is that I've upgraded the podcast for another year, and I hope that everyone out there who hasn't signed up will sign up eventually.
Thank you. I mispronounced your name again, too. It's Elan, right?
Yeah, it's Elan. That's okay.
Elan, that's right. I'm sorry. So how is the latest American bomber story being received in Helsinki?
Well, you know, it's getting a lot of play on BBC World. It's been on the Finnish TV news and in the newspapers, but I don't know. The look from here is that it's amateur hour.
How about the BP oil catastrophe that's unfolding in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes, yes. Getting tons of coverage on BBC World, CNN International, and, of course, here in the Finnish press as well. Mike, it's a disaster. I mean, the Gulf is destroyed. I can't believe that we're not talking about the fact that it's gone. It's gone. I mean, there's 200,000 gallons of oil, and God only knows how much there's going to be. And it's just become one big, you know, mass grave of death. and that water is going to spread everywhere. And I didn't even think about the fact that it could hit the current and come up towards our way.
Right. It certainly could. I'm not sure where the Gulf Stream goes once it goes along the coast of the British Isles, but I would imagine at some point it links with the North Sea. And the next thing you know, Norway, Sweden, Finland, oops.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, you know, of course, the with all the fresh water that's been, the, you know, with the ice melt, which has affected the, you know, the salt,
mm-hmm.
which is key to, you know, keeping us warm.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, we're one volcanic eruption away up here from permanent winter. And, you know, it just seems like so much is happening at the moment. I mean, yes, we live in a 24/7 news cycle and everything is being magnified, but this disaster, as you know, your discussion with Mike Papantonio the other day was really amazing. And there hasn't been much mention at all about this safety valve issue that's on every rig around the world except in the United States. And I can't figure out why.
Somebody told me that the Rachel Maddow program on MSNBC here got into that, and some other program. I don't know if it was Keith Olbermann's show, also on MSNBC. I'm not sure, but you're right in that there has been very little coverage of the fact that this was not an accident. This was not a mistake, unless you consider that drilling in the Gulf anywhere is an accident, but this was a deliberate result of a deliberate action taken by BP to not provide emergency stop switch or whatever the hell it's called that you people in the North Sea insist on.
That's right. That's right. And of course, I mean, well, I'm one day behind, of course, always usually on my podcast, but I get the Rachel Maddow program on my Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I only saw her Gulf special, and I thought the way she closed the program was huge. I mean, you know, that the government has got to do everything. And hey, you right-wingers, if there's no government help on this, then it's been gone for a long time. So.
Yeah, you know, what is just sickening to me is when a disaster like this occurs, these right-wing bastards don't call on the evangelical church to come and clean up the disaster or to save them. They call on the federal government. I will guarantee you that if this stuff starts heading towards the Texas coast, that Governor Rick Perry is going to be screaming his guts out for help from the Obama administration. And this is the same freak who had the audacity to talk about Texas seceding from the Union. But, you know, this is occurring in that part of the United States that is known for harboring morons and producing an abundant supply, bumper crop, year after year of absolute morons come out of the South, the American South.
I know, Mike. Do you remember when Bush stole the election and Michael Moore put up on his website the United States of Canada, which was you know, the whole West Coast and the whole Northeast merging into part of Canada, and then the rest of it was Jesus Land.
Right.
And unfortunately, you're living in Jesus Land, Mikey. But I think that Vancouver, British Columbia, would be a fabulous place for you to relocate to, if you don't come to Finland, of course.
Vancouver, British Columbia, while it's beautiful, sits on one of the most dangerous
earthquake faults
on the planet.
Yeah.
And
you can't escape anything, Mike. It's one thing or the other.
No, and probably some Republican has his finger on the trigger of that earthquake fault. Hey, listen, Alan, thank you very much for checking in. We're just about ready to go to the end of the program here. I appreciate hearing from you, okay?
Alternative energy people, start yelling.
Yeah, I hear that. Thanks, Alan.
Okay, take care, Mike.
You too. That is it for us from here tonight. We are flat out of time. Got a bunch of good emails here that came in that I wanted to share with you, but we just don't have time. We'll get to them tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.